Good morning, everybody, on this Seth Flag Day 2022. It is June 14th. So thank you for being with us today, or whenever you're listening, maybe on the archives, and we archive everything over at ace-ed.org, our home website for the Consortium for Equity and Education. My name's Larry Jacobs, and it's nice to have you here. We got a nice show today with Doris Chavez-Linville, who's the Director of I love this title, Director of Linguistic and Culturally Diverse Innovation at Renaissance. Okay, Director of Linguistic and Culturally Diverse Innovation. I love that title. We're going to talk about what that means with her and what Renaissance is doing. And we're going to talk a lot about bilingual students. And I hope we can talk about making more students bilingual as opposed to teaching everybody English. Let's teach everybody foreign languages as well. Okay, so I hope we'll talk about that. We're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. And over there, you'll see what we're doing with SEL, social emotional learning, all about teacher retention and professional development we offer over at teacherretention.com. All right, and also our awards program. Please nominate yourself, nominate companies you work with, nominate your colleagues. The Excellence in Equity Awards, there's a icon over there that allow you to nominate folks for that. We got 27 different categories over there. Our magazine is over there, which is called Equity and Access Pre-K-12. It's an online journal. It's absolutely excellent. And, of course, all the podcasts we've ever done. It's a party over there at ace-ed.org, so please check it on out, okay? That's where we're going to archive the show with Doris. And Doris, I got to ask you, am I pronouncing your first name right?
Very close, yes. Yeah, the pronunciation is Doris Chavez-Lin, close.
Let me try. Help me out here. Doris. Bad?
That was wonderful, yes.
Was really? Did I get an A?
Yeah. You get an A.
Doris. I love it. It's beautiful. Okay, Doris Chavez-Linville. Linville is the easy part for me. It's the Doris Chavez. I want to get absolutely perfect. And welcome to today's show. It's a pleasure to have you here. Okay, it really is.
Thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm.
It's great. You know, we are all about equity, okay, of every kid. And your title, I got to tell you, this is like the best title in the world, Director of Linguistic and Culturally Diverse Innovation. Congratulations to Renaissance for coming up with that. Well, tell us about your job there. That's great. Then we'll get into the heart of bilingualism. But this is really cool.
Absolutely. Well, actually, I did not start it that way. My original title was Director for English Learner Innovation. And the more that I have dive into the research and looking at students through the lens of asset-based, it's like, you know, if we only looking at English, like you were mentioning just earlier, that's not the only part of who they are. So the work that we do every day has to reflect the bigger vision and the holistic approach of how we look at our students. And it needs to start with the way that we do our work, the way that we introduce ourselves to the world, and the way that that reflects the approach on our innovation here at Renaissance.
And you know, I'm going to ask you a kind of a personal question. Where did you go to school?
I went in Mexico, actually. I was born and raised in Monterrey, Mexico. Yep. And
oh, wow.
I went to college there and college in the U.S., yes.
And what I was going to ask, well, then you came here, and obviously you're involved in education. Okay, and this is interesting because they hire you with one title, and I can guarantee you said we got to make this title a little bit different. Okay, as you prowled through the K-12 world in the United States and dealt with kids who, like you, grew up in another country. Okay, and not just a Spanish speaking country; it could be any country you could think of. Okay, as you plowed through them, what did you see? Okay, because I know. You were on top of this. What did you see with these kids?
Absolutely. Thanks for that question, because I was actually a teacher for migrant education. So I had that one experience of a student. Yes, that are children of our migrant workers. And I actually could see how they had all this pride about who they are, what they know, their culture, their roots. But then when they walked into the schools, not all of them, but many of them, they felt like it was they couldn't show that pride, that it was not okay. And unfortunately, by doing that, they were losing their identity, and they were losing that excitement and spark of who they are, right, as a learner. So, yes, that's what I saw, unfortunately,
Yeah, and, you know, it's so interesting, and I said this at the beginning, I really believe we make a mistake when we talk about, I'm going to say this the right way. It's very important for kids who speak another language to learn English if they're going to live here. Okay, that's important, all right? But we need to take advantage, if I may, of the kids who speak another language, because the world keeps getting smaller. And all these kids that are in K-12 are going to go out into the big, wide world. And to me, we're like most other countries in the world, we need to make our kids bilingual as opposed to making our kids who are bilingual mostly speak English. We're doing it wrong. We need to take advantage of the kids who are with another language and their families and cultures and embed that in the schools more powerfully than we do right now. Isn't that good? That's cool. I like that.
Absolutely.
You know, we're missing something here, okay? And it's dopey.
I agree.
And
what a missed opportunity.
Yeah, what a missed opportunity.
Absolutely.
It's a great opportunity. It's unbelievable. Now, tell me, you're at Renaissance, okay? Which is Renaissance.com, and I'm going to leave it to everybody else to spell Renaissance. Okay, it's a hard word. We'll let everybody else do that. Renaissance.com. Okay. I'm always amazed they didn't make it ren.com just so everybody could spell it, but it's renaissance.com. But talk about what you guys are doing, okay, in regards to bilingual kids, all right, and celebrating that. Go ahead. Excuse me, my throat got clogged.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, well, we're doing a lot of work. Now, the reality is that, as you were saying, we have a lot of students in the United States that are actually growing up bilingual at home, right? And Spanish is not the only language. There are many languages. However, over 80% of students growing up bilingual that have not from another country, but actually most of them have been born in the United States. So imagine that there are U.S. citizens born here, growing up with another language, and about 80% or higher that number, actually it is Spanish, that home language or mother tongue. So what we're doing is we're targeting, developing content, particularly in the assessment area, on how to assess students that are developing Spanish at home, that's developing Spanish at school as well as English with the goal of becoming biliterate, which is a great outcome of embracing bilingualism.
And again, the mistake is we're taking kids who are, we're taking kids and hope we are appreciating them who are bilingual, okay? And we're working with them. And I'm going to keep saying this: we need to work with kids who are monolingual, okay, and get them to be bilingual. That's the mistake. Okay, and we really got to work on this. But this is so cool. I really love it. So what's this? I know you have some kind of art contest. Okay, a bilingual arts contest. Denise, what is a bilingual arts contest? Go ahead.
Well, just to connect again, here at Renaissance, we're really working to meet our mission. Our mission is to accelerate learning for all, and that we mean.
It is.
Children, right? And I am actually part of the ERG group for Hispanic, Latino, Latinx, Latina in Renaissance. And one of the ideas is like, how do we, you know, enhance and shine a light on the experiences of students that are growing up bilingual? We want to make sure that they feel the sense of belonging, that again, that spark of who they are as a whole. Regardless of where they're coming from, they can show that. And art is a great way to show that. And we believe that, hey, Hispanic Heritage Month is coming around the corner. It is a little odd because it starts in the middle of September and goes through the middle of October. So we kind of take over 2 months.
Good. Congratulations.
But we feel like, you know,
that's good.
Sure. So we thought, hey, let's get kids to show and represent, because you know what it means for them to be growing up in this duality of language. What does it mean for them to be able to embrace that duality, to be able to show it, and also show their culture, their roots. Again, we want to make sure that they connect to their identity and they share that to the world. And we want to do the same thing by encourage them to do this beautiful art that they can submit to us.
Hey, you know, I got a question for Denise. You know, did you say, I think I heard you, correct me if I'm wrong, 80% bilingual students are of Latino descent. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Are speaking Spanish?
Well, actually, students that are developing in English as an additional language to their language repertoire in the United States actually come from a Spanish background. That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So my point is, if we know that, okay, I'm just going to bring up stuff that's bugging me. Why aren't the teacher colleges teaching X amount of teachers to speak Spanish? That's something.
Oh, I love that question.
What the hell's going on? When you just talk about it, it's so easy. You know, and every college in the world has Spanish instructors. Okay? And there's no reason why we're not doing that. You and I can talk about this for hours. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we could. But let me just add a little bit to that.
Go ahead.
It's a little secret that you probably know that secret, but a lot of districts, large districts, are actually going abroad to bring teachers to teach Spanish in bilingual programs in the United States. So, you know, we have these resources. And again, it's stopping kids from developing their biliteracy and bilingualism in the United States. This is the result. We don't have enough talent within our borders that we have to go and cross them and try to find teachers to come and fill these areas so that we can continue to develop this beautiful asset to our country.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to ask that you have a report at Renaissance. It's called Six Myths About Emergent Bilinguals. Do you know about that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yes,
what are the six myths?
I was a co-writer of that blog.
There you go.
One of the myths that it is, don't let them, you know, use their home language because that's going to interfere with their developing English. That is not true at all. There's actually over 500 studies that show that when students develop literacy in their home language or their mother tongue, actually will develop English faster and have better connections about the language in the long term. So that's one of the
I believe that is a myth, but it's an obvious myth. It doesn't even make sense, okay, that people would believe that. So there we go. Next. Obviously, you're literate in your own language. You're going to be quickly more literate in another language. It's obvious. Anyway, go ahead.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So, yes, many other myths is, again, oh, my gosh, you got me. I wrote this a long time ago, and I'm trying to get those things.
Then let me know. I'm going to get you off the hook then. Everybody, there's a report that Renaissance put out, and you can probably Google six myths about emergent bilinguals. Six myths about emergent bilinguals. That'll take you right to what Doris wrote a while ago. All right? And it's important to know this stuff because we have a perception of these kids, okay? And the perceptions we have in many cases are going to be proven wrong. So check that out. How was that? I got you off the hook. How's that?
I so appreciate that. Yeah, I looked at them like, oh, yeah, I remember a lot of them. And I usually talk about them all the time. So I appreciate you. Yes, thank you so much.
You know, and let me ask, when you go, you must go out and talk at school districts and see principals and superintendents and all that. When you approach them with all these ideas, all right, what do they say? What's the feedback that comes back from school districts about understanding bilingual kids better and incorporating it more into what we do?
Well, let me tell you, it really is a mix. I think that there's a big shift in the positive, and that is why probably dual language programs, bilingual programs, are becoming very popular these days, and they're becoming more and more. They're being embraced, right? There's still a lot to be done, and unfortunately, there's not enough funding for those programs, so we do need to continue working with our policymakers to make sure that there's enough funding for programs that we know work for our emerging bilingual students. But there's unfortunately still a small group of leaders in education that still feel like, well, I have to get them to speak English and I have to get them to pass, you know, all these assessments, which is understandable. However,
yeah, it is.
I don't know that we are currently measuring students that are developing two languages at the same time with the correct tools. So that's another policy
piece
that we need to look into it, you know?
Yeah, so actually, if you can talk about that further, about the whole idea of assessing a bilingual kid. Talk about that. Can you do that?
Absolutely.
One? Go for it.
Yes, absolutely. So when we look at students, many times we look at bilingual student as two monolinguals. Here's in the example, so I guess the world that I live in, there's English, there's Spanish, so we divide them into two. But the reality is that particularly today, most of the students are growing up what we call simultaneous bilinguals. They're growing up learning both languages at the same time, and they will use, they will actually utilize part of the linguistic repertoire from one language or the other, connect those and utilize those. And that's where teachers can have a great opportunity when they understand both languages. What are the areas where, like, oh, I see how you are making connections between this language and the other. In English, when you have formal English, this is how you use it. And when you do formal Spanish, this is how you use it. But it doesn't matter. I mean, we tend to what we call the word translanguaging. We translanguage. We take pieces of our language repertoire that we have available to communicate, and it depends on the context that we're communicating is the way that we utilize it. So it's important not to look at students as two monolinguals. We want to look at them as somebody who has a larger language repertoire that it contains pieces of different languages, and they use those to communicate. So that's also reflected on the way that they write and the way that they, you know, communicate with the students. And sometimes we don't assess them. We haven't, there's really not an assessment that today will assess somebody who is actually growing up bilingual. And that's the reality.
You know, besides the language perception, there are also, if I may, with these students, and again, almost any language, cultural differences. Okay? Kids are brought up differently in different countries. Okay, they react differently to things if you're, depending on what country you're from. All right, and if I may, and you might have gone through this a little bit yourself, how does the cultural difference matter? What does a teacher have to need to understand about a kid's culture before they can understand how to relate well to that kid? Go ahead, Doris.
Yes, no, absolutely, and there's so many layers to that question, Larry. I mean,
I
so many layers. So I'm going to take one of those layers for now.
Peel away the onion.
Coming back to the Spanish concept, like Spanish in the United States, it's Spanish in the United States. There are 21 countries that Spanish is their dominant language or the main language of those countries, and we have had generations that have come to the United States and actually – think about it, some generations that the border crossed them, they did not cross the border. So there you go. You have a lot of different backgrounds in the Spanish. So that means that there's no, quote, unquote, one correct Spanish. There is this
great
beautiful
point.
Diversity that
great
makes Spanish in the U.S. A live language that it is shifting and changing. Because, like, when I go and visit my family in Mexico and I start talking to them in Spanish, they notice that change and they're like, you use different words. I'm like, yeah, because
great.
I have friends from Cuba and Venezuela and Colombia
that's
and Puerto
great.
Rico that I have adopted language from their background too.
Yeah, that's so interesting. We don't think of that. We think of Spanish as Spanish. All right, but then put me. I live in Maine. Put me down in Mississippi, and the English is different. We have to say what you say. What you say back and forth to each other. Okay, You know, and then you go to England, okay, or Australia, where they're all speaking English, New Zealand, but the words are different, okay? The intonation is different, okay? The cultures are different, all right? And it's the same. We tend not to think of that when we think of kids. We just think of, oh, that kid speaks Spanish, okay? But that kid could be Argentinian or Peruvian, okay, or Spanish, or Mexican, or whatever the case may be. It's really interesting when you point that out. You got to take all that into consideration, especially when you're assessing these kids, both behaviorally and academically. Okay, it's really, it's just a fascinating thing. I'm so glad Renaissance is on top of this, like they are, that they found you. Okay, they did good. Okay, they did good. Okay, I want to get back. I want to get back to the art contest. I assume you want kids to apply. Talk about what grades, how they apply, all that sort of stuff. What are you looking for?
Absolutely. So we are, this is open for any student, K-12, any school, doesn't matter what school you're in, homeschool, private school, public school. We want everybody because we are embracing diversity. Remember that. And diversity comes from everywhere. So we want students. We want them to reflect and think about their own bilingual story. And I want to make sure the kids know that they don't have to be fully, perfectly bilingual. Bilingualism has many different levels and paths and journeys. And some kids might have just oral language. They might not be able to write it or speak it, but that doesn't mean that they're not bilingual. Or students that are just developing another language and they're feeling that connection to the culture and these new doors that have been opened to them because they're developing this new language. And so we want to hear that. So it is connected to the Hispanic Heritage Month. Again, we have a lot of children that unfortunately lost their language because they were not allowed to continue speaking their language or study their language, and what we call now heritage learners. So we want to hear from heritage learners and say, you know, maybe I did not have a chance to continue developing my bilingualism, and here's an art that is showing my story and my journey, and maybe I want to go back to it. So we want to hear from everybody, and we want to showcase those stories through our website and different marketing opportunities that we're going to have, because we want to market our students and their stories, because we need to shine a light of their amazingness. So,
And how do people apply, submit their work? And also another thing, what kind? This is an important question. Let's say a kid, you know, you think of art, you might think of drawing, okay? But some kids are sculptors, okay? So how do you want people to submit their entries, and where do they do that?
Absolutely. So you made a great. Actually, we received already some great art, and the only thing they need to do, if they do submit pictures, they can submit pictures of their sculptures. We have had really already quite a variety of things. So you want to go to renaissance.com/bilingual art contest with hyphens in between art and contest. It's very easy, but like you said, Google it, it'll show up.
Yeah,
you put Renaissance bilingual contest and it will come out, right? So it has been open since May. We already received a lot of great entries. It will close on June 30th. So make sure we have a couple of weeks still available for them to, and they, we have actually entry forms in the website in English and in Spanish, so that the students that maybe want to do that and want to share it with parents and they want to have the opportunity to read it in either language, they can do that. We will have both judges from our ERG of Hispanic Latinx group, and also some experts that we work with on our Spanish and Biliteracy Assessment Council that actually have been doing a lot of work with us in our Spanish development content, so that we are very fair about judging. And actually, the winners will receive a $500 gift card for the different levels of, we're going to have different levels of winners. So it's going to be exciting. And I think, again, being able to showcase who they are, their art, their passion, who knows, they might give them opportunities to continue doing and going through that path of art. And again, we want there, again, there's so many ways to show who you are, and we know that art in the Hispanic community is a huge way of connecting to the world around them, so we want to give that opportunity.
Absolutely. And I have a question. Do you also want art from the other, I'll say it this way, the other kids, okay, who work with and are friends with bilingual kids? Do you want, I don't know how to say this right, would you want kids who speak English predominantly, not necessarily Latino kids or whatever, okay, to send you art about their experiences with their friends who are bilingual? Do you want that, or do you want strictly from the bilingual kids? Tough question,
oh, no,
you know what I'm
remember.
Saying.
Yeah. It's a great question, and again, we believe in diversity, and we have a lot of kids that are joining, that support, that want, they are learning, they are becoming bilingual themselves by connecting with their friends that are bilingual.
Exactly, which is good.
So,
which is good.
Absolutely. It is open for everybody. We want to hear their stories, and what a great way to show, you know, I met my friend, we are learning together, we're developing languages together. So absolutely, yes.
Exactly. You know, the old joke,
yes.
What do you call somebody who knows two languages? That's bilingual. And you call somebody who knows three languages, that's trilingual. And what do you call somebody who knows one language, and that's American? Get it?
I'm not sure.
No, because Americans are never taught two languages. It's absurd. So what you guys are doing at Renaissance, recognizing the importance of bilingualism, okay, it's so darn important in the world we live in today. Okay, and I just thank you. Thaddeus, this is great. It's good to know you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity to showcase the work that we're doing. There's still a lot of work to be done, and I really ask for anybody, like, remember that every child brings gifts to our classrooms, but we need to provide them opportunities. We need to provide them tools and resources. And just like we're doing at Renaissance, we invite everybody to think about how can you do something to support every child to be the best that they can be.
Hear, hear. I tell you, Doris, you are my favorite director of linguistic and culturally diverse innovation in the whole world. You're the best. You're the best one.
Thank you, Larry, so much. I appreciate so much.
You take care. It's a pleasure to know you. We will be back in touch. Okay, keep up the good work.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That, everybody, is the amazing Doris Chavez-Linville, again, Director of Linguistic and Culturally Diverse Innovation at Renaissance. You can spell that yourself, but there's one N, two S's. One N, two S's, and I always make that mistake. And you can just Google renaissance.com bilingual arts contest, and it should take you right there, okay? And get your kids involved. It's really good. Big thank you to my friends over at PR with Panache for helping put the show together. And Doris, thank you. You were just great. Okay, we're going to archive the show at ace-ed.org. Check out everything we do over there. It's pretty cool. Thanks for listening.